You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Advent, and we are looking forward to the third Sunday of Advent.
The pink Sunday, guys. It's coming. I'm so excited.
Rose.
Okay, fine. Close enough.
Rose pink. I'm arguing with a person about color who's a designer. I shouldn't do that. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Helping us look forward to the third Sunday of Advent, the Reverend James Geyer, Senior Pastor of Ascension Lutheran Church and School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Pastor Geyer, welcome back.
Good to see you again, both of you.
Blessed Advent. I am looking forward to the third Sunday of Advent. Sarah's excited because it's the pink Sunday.
It's true.
Or as I call it, Rose Sunday. There's another name for it. We'll get to that in our time together today. What are the readings that we're looking at this Sunday that we'll be discussing today?
Well, one of the readings is the Old Testament from Zephaniah, the prophet Zephaniah. We'll take a few verses from there. We'll take a number of verses from the Holy Gospel and Luke. And then hopefully we'll come back at the end to touch on Philippians chapter 4. When we get to rejoicing for this Sunday, kind of the theme of this Sunday and the reason for its color in pink. But let's read from Zephaniah to begin with. And we begin with verse 14 of the third chapter. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgment against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear not, O Zion, let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival, so that you will no longer suffer reproach. And these words echo a little bit back into the earlier Sundays of Advent, where we're singing for joy at the coming of the King of Israel. And here we have a crossover with that. Sing aloud, rejoice, exult with all your heart, for the one who comes to save. And then we have the Holy Gospel in Luke, the 7th chapter. The disciples of John reported all these things to him, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. And on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them, Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Now that's amazing that someone would be offended by all that Jesus was doing and bringing back the hope that once was held by Israel in Yahweh, seeing now what Jesus is planning to do, to make all things new again. And how someone would be offended by that, well, that's more of the story to come later in the church year. But for here, let's focus on the question for a minute about what John's disciples brought to Jesus from John. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to look for another? And that question, I believe, holds sway as much today as it did then. Are you the one? Because denial of Jesus being the one at that time was the reason that he was put to death by his own people. And to this very day, by my own experience in working with various people groups as a pastor, you know, the Jews continue to look for the Messiah. I sat in a Bible study once with a group of Jewish men, had a great time. They knew I was the only Christian. They made sure I knew Paul was apostate, and I understood how they believed about that. But nevertheless, their ideas were this. All of them had an idea about the Messiah who was coming, and He may be a rabbi alive today, someone in one country, someone in another. And I found that quite interesting that for them, they really are truly looking for the coming of the one whom we have already received the answer is the one who is to come. So this is an important question for us today, not only for them, but for all unbelievers who have yet to come to realize Christ in their life. So yes, he's the one to come. And the way we know goes all the way back into many, many different prophecies in the Old Testament. So one of those is Moses himself, who prophesied that God would send one. He will raise one up who is a prophet like him from the people, from the brothers, and that you shall listen to him. And we hear that in the transfiguration of Christ. We hear the Father speaking from heaven, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And so there's the identifying marks of the New Testament testimony about Jesus being the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. We are reminded of Psalm 22 doing the same about his crucifixion on the cross. "They have pierced my hands, they have pierced my feet. A company of evildoers encircle me. They gloat and stare over me. They divide my garments and cast lots for them." These kinds of texts we see very clearly at the Passion of the Christ. So there are many, many prophecies that he fulfills, and including the one today in the prophet Isaiah, talking about the blind receiving their sight, the deaf hearing, the mute singing for joy, you know, the poor finding their joy again in the Holy One of Israel. So lots of different prophecies are being fulfilled when Jesus comes, but he points specifically to his works and his words, which I think we do well to look at and to listen to today as the very way and means that the Father reveals his Son to us.
What is the significance then of all of these fulfillments? I mean, we see these connections all over the place. Why is it important to focus on these fulfillments right now in this season of Advent as we're looking ahead to the coming Christ?
That's a great question. We look at these as prophecies of fulfillment, meaning as we as Christians today look back at the prophecies and we see how Jesus one by one fulfilled these prophecies from Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, it gives testimony to the fact that he came and that the prophecies were fulfilled. And yet there are more prophecies to be fulfilled that lie ahead of us that should give us great joy in knowing that our life here in time is going to give way eventually to a life in eternity of a new heavens and a new earth, where finally all the enemies that we have of sin, death, the devil himself, will be consumed in such a way that never again shall they be able to draw us back into the evil of Satan, who he and the fallen angels. So I look at it as, oh my gosh, these were fulfilled. He has come. He has made the promise to come again. And there's a whole set of other prophecies yet to be fulfilled. And when that becomes the focus of our life here in time, we realize that we don't have to live in fear. We live in hope and we live in faith, knowing that God's plan is going to be fulfilled no matter what happens. And therefore, our life is blessed when we find ourselves being pulled back into alignment with him.
So what are some practices during Advent? What do we sing? What do we pray? What do we meditate on during Advent? What are the practices of Advent that remind us that Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophecies?
Well, I think the ones I always go back to is what we do every Sunday. And for those of us who think it's a bit rote, well, that's our sinful nature, not understanding that God is a God who is immutable and unchanging. And he brings gifts to us always. Again, in the divine service, we receive the one who is come to us, who has come before. In the lighting of the candles, though, that we've been doing, and as we teach it to our children in our chapel and on Sundays, we see this growing sense of anticipation as Jesus draws closer to Jerusalem in the beginning of Advent, where we're watching him proceed forward to the cross. But also, as we know, he's coming again, standing at the gate, ready to appear when the final moment comes. So our preaching and our reading and our hymns are focused on the coming of the Christ, which will give way shortly to this great abundance of joy and expression of just utter gladness that the one who was born for the sin of the world has come into the world and who will come again. So we have, obviously, we have extra services that focus on these things. We have our decor, again, that's growing, the anticipation. Every Sunday, there's more and more lights showing up in our church. And the anticipation builds with the children as we're waiting to unwrap that present on Christmas morning. So for us, the propers really help us. The readings help us. The hymn selections that center on John the Baptist coming and the purpose for his coming. We sing, O Come Emmanuel, certain stanzas of that growing in the gradual. That's what we're using for our gradual. And all of those start to point us and get our hearts set on Christmas morning.
We are looking forward to the third Sunday of Advent with Pastor Geyer. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others. To live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world. To live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Oh, this wooden toy set is really, really fun.
It is.
We could pretend it's like real life.
Kids love to play, and play that points to Jesus is a big part of a child's faith journey. Wooden toys from Wicking Vicar do just that, growing the faith through play. Wicking Vicar's Children's Church playset lets little ones delve into the divine service, and the Children's Advent Wreath is a safe way for kids to make the Advent tradition their own. Solid wood and heirloom quality for children ages 3 and up. Order yours today at wickingvicar.com and click on Wooden Toys in the menu bar. This Christmas, gift the children in your life faith-building wooden toys from Wicking Vicar.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are looking forward to the third Sunday of Advent with Pastor James Geyer, Senior Pastor of Ascension Lutheran Church and School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And looking forward to Advent 3 or the third Sunday of Advent. Pastor, what does Jesus say in today's readings of those who do not receive him?
This is quite the question. There are some very difficult things that Jesus speaks about that takes us also back into the Old Testament concerning the children of Abraham. Jesus confronted the unbelief that he received in the preaching of his word and the miracles and signs that he was doing. And he had a confrontation with the Jews at a certain point where he brought them to task, if you will. And he said, you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. And he speaks about the words that he gets from the Father to speak to them. And they make a claim to themselves that they are of the Father, Abraham. We have Abraham as our father. And Jesus then says, well, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. And that's not what Abraham did. And the reason for bringing this up, if we remember what we listened to last week when John the Baptist was baptizing and the Pharisees came to him and he said, do not think simply because you are attached to Abraham by lineage, this makes you acceptable to God. But rather, we find that the true children of God, the true children of Abraham, are by the promise and faith. And this is exactly what John was getting at and bringing about in preparing the way for Jesus, that it will be by the fulfillment of the promise of the Christ and also faith in him that will constitute who Abraham's children really are. And why that's important is because that confession of listening to Jesus and what his words are will determine really who it is that we are living for and following after in this world, even if we are believing we are following the true God. So we have to be careful to know why it's important that Jesus is the Christ. He'll come back and later tell them, you are of a different father because you do not receive my word. That question then is, what about all of us? What about all of us in the world? And so at one time, really, all of us who are unbelievers have a different father. Our father is the prince of this world who is at work in the sons of disobedience, we learn from Paul. And that becomes all of us until we reach the waters of holy baptism and are reclaimed by God as his holy children. So are you the one who is to come? Becomes a very important question for us to contemplate this day for the whole of humanity. The whole of humanity. So yes, it matters that we believe in Jesus. And when not, then we remain in the sin that condemns us before our holy God.
How is that love of Jesus shown to us now, since he is the one that is to come? How is that manifest among us right now, today?
In wonderful ways. But when people ask, you know, or Jesus even asks, who do the people say that I am? Peter gives a great answer and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And blessed are you, O Peter, for this was not revealed to you by men, but by my Father in heaven. And when our eyes are taken off of ourselves and we look to heaven for the answers of God, and heaven points us back to Jesus, and the Father says, listen to him. We listen to him. And we find that in his works, he's bringing everything back together again into a new creation. And he will inaugurate the new day of the creation in his resurrection from the dead. But on that night before, on the night of his betrayal, Jesus instituted then the Holy Supper, the very body and blood that he came into the world to give and offer for the sins of the world. And he provided now a ways and means that New Testament, that this will constitute the New Testament going forward. And he will share his love by taking everything he's done on the cross and giving it to us. That love means that we are going to receive what we cannot do for ourselves as a pure gift and grace of God to us. That's why I do go back to the altar quite a bit. That's a tremendous gift that's given to us. And what greater love can there be than what Paul wrote about this, that God shows his love for us, that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. While we're yet still sinners, we receive his love in the word and sacrament of his divine liturgy.
While we are still waiting, too, we're still waiting. And during this season of waiting, this particular Sunday, it's not just the pink Sunday, but there's a Latin word for this third Sunday of Advent. Tell us about this third Sunday and why we get to celebrate with pink or observe with pink.
Well, we get to observe with pink because pink is the color of joy. So the third Sunday in Advent comes upon us. Gaudete is a Latin word that means rejoice. And rejoice is given to us through the epistle reading that we didn't mention as of yet. So it comes from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Now, let me just read that to you for just a minute here, and then we'll explain the rest of it. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Why this? Why Gaudete here in the third Sunday of Advent? Well, Advent is a season of repentance, a season of repentance. And when we look to ourselves and come to the realization that we are sinners before God, we acknowledge our sins. We understand there's the penalty of eternal death, and there is nothing we ourselves can do about it. This is a little reprieve and knowing and looking away from ourselves and now looking at the Christ who is coming to know that he's bringing the salvation that we can never achieve for ourselves. We rejoice in that. Here he comes with salvation, has he. And that's wonderful to know that while we look at our sins, we also see our Savior coming and the reason for his coming. So what great joy should we have in rejoicing and knowing that what we can't do for ourselves, he comes to do. So we're waiting anticipation for that. And again, on Christmas morning, the unwrapping of the Christ child, the body and blood now, human flesh and blood that can and will atone for the sins of the world. It's the greatest gift given to us. So rejoice.
Yes. What do we learn from this little liturgical part of our church year of having a Sunday of rejoicing in the middle of waiting and repenting? What do we learn about just the life of the Christian, of having this joy while also living in the midst of suffering? How do we kind of translate that into our daily life and the rhythm of the Christian?
I'm actually going to, I'm trying to remember, if I had mentioned this before, forgive me, because I do a lot of thinking and a lot of talking everywhere. So there was a Jewish man that was a guide to me in Israel, in Old Jerusalem. And he was telling me about all the different factions of Judaism there. And I remember him talking about his own faith. And he said this. He said, in our branch of understanding, every night before we go to bed, we confess our sins. And I thought that was intriguing. And he said, because tomorrow the Messiah comes. So in answer to your question, every day is a day in which we look forward to the possibility of Christ's return the next day. Therefore, if that's the case, I think that starts to frame our day, as Luther talks about in baptism, where we daily repent of our sins and daily we emerge and arise to live before God in a joy that is not rooted in the material life that we have, but in the reality and even a greater reality of what is coming for us. And so the idea and anticipation of Advent is also one that we can experience every day to be joyful, just like it is written here in Philippians. I love this verse. Listen to how it frames it for us. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. How much of the world is living in anxiety because they have no hope or no, you know, if there's anything beyond their death in this world, but there is. And when you look to Jesus, it changes everything. Just Luther knew that, who suffered anxiety tremendously with all the things that he did in the Reformation. But if you look at his simple words, that after you pray the Lord's Prayer, you confess the creed, then go on your day joyfully and sing a hymn and enjoy the fact that you're forgiven. And your day now is full of God's grace and guidance for you to live in that joy every day. I would say, always begin the day in the Word of God. And when you're done with your prayer, sing a hymn. Sing a little hymn and see how it changes your disposition to what you're going to be doing that day. And do that every day. And I think we will bring a greater joy to this world than it has ever known at all. So I think that's something we Christians can give to the world.
Thanks be to God, we have this foundation as Christians, that we have God's word, we have God's promise. So we have this hope, confidence, and joy during Advent. Gaudete, gaudete. Thank you, Pastor, for helping us look forward to the third Sunday of Advent today. We really appreciate your time and looking forward to Advent 4 with you. God's peace. Thanks.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.